Here's a true story I retell every Thanksgiving, just to remind myself and you that everything that really matters is right before us all the time. Here 'tis. Thanksgiving, the happiest sad day of the year. The saddest thing I ever saw, a small elderly woman dining alone at Morrison's cafeteria on Thanksgiving Day. Oh, there are many other sadnesses you can find if you look hard enough in this variegated world of ours, but a diner alone on Thanksgiving Day makes you feel really fortunate, guilty, smug, relieved, tearful, grateful, and it brings you up short and makes you time travel to the pockets of joy and cheer you experienced in earlier days. Crepe paper, lots of crepe paper, and construction paper, bunches of different colored construction paper. In my childhood home in Tuscaloosa, my Thanksgiving mother always made sure we creative and restless kids had all the cardboard, scratch paper, partly used tablets, corrugated surfaces, unused napkins, backs of canceled checks, rough brown paper from disassembled grocery bags, backs of advertising letters and flyers, anything at all that we could use to make things. Yes, dear 21st century young'uns, we kids back then made things from scraps. We could cut up all we wanted, and cut up we did. We cut out rough rectangular sheets from stiff black wrapping paper and glued the edges together to make pilgrim hats. Old belt buckles were tied to our shoelaces. We never could get it straight, whether the pilgrims were Quakers or vice versa or neither. But it always seemed important to put buckles on our shoes and sandals, wear tubular hats and funny white paper collars, and craft weird-looking guns that flared out like trombones at one end. More fun than being a pilgrim Quaker was being an Indian, a true blue Native American, replete with bare chest, feathers shed by neighborhood doves, bows made of crooked twigs and kite string, arrows dulled at the tip by rubber stoppers and corks, and loads of mother's discarded rouge and powder and lipstick and mashed cranberries smeared here and there on face and body to make us feel like the Indians we momentarily were. Sister Barbara and Mother would find some long autumnal-hued dresses for the occasion, but they were seldom seen outside the kitchen for hours on end while the 8-course dinner was under construction. There was always an accordion-fold crepe-paper turkey centerpiece on display, hastily bought on sale at S.H. Cress just after last year's Thanksgiving season. It looked nothing like my Aunt Mattie's turkeys in her West Blockton front yard, and for some reason we ate cranberry products on that day and that day only. Nobody ever thought about cranberries the other 364 days, and those lucky turkeys were lucky because nobody ever thought of eating them except at Thanksgiving and Christmas. They were home free the rest of the year. Now, back into the time machine of just a few years ago. It is Thanksgiving Day. My wife and son and granddaughter are all out of the country. Other family and relatives are either dead or gone, or just plain tied up with their own lives in other states, doing things other than having Thanksgiving dinner with me. My brother Tim, my friends Tim Baer and Don Henderson, and I decide that we will have to spend Thanksgiving dinner together, since each of us is bereft of wife or playmate or relative this particular holiday, this particular year. So we wind up at Morrison's cafeteria, eating along together, going through the line and picking out steamed particle board turkey, canned cranberries, thin gravy, boxed mashed potatoes, and some bakery goods whose source cannot easily be determined. But we laugh at our situation and each other, tell jokes, cut up a bit, and thank our lucky stars that this one Thanksgiving dinner is surely just a fluke. We'll be trying that much harder next year to not get blindsided by the best holiday of the year, Thanksgiving being the only holiday you don't have to give gifts or reciprocate gifts or strain to find the correct gifts. On Thanksgiving holidays ever since, I make sure I'm with family and friends, and now and then I try to set a place at the table of my mind for any little old lady or lone friend who might want to join us, for the second saddest thing I've ever seen is a happy family lustily enjoying a Thanksgiving feast together and forgetting, for a moment, about all those lawn diners in all the cafeterias of the world who could use a glance and a smile.